Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi. As always, thank you for taking the time to hang out with me for a while today. One of the hardest things about losing a child is that life keeps moving forward even when you don't want it to. The sun comes up the next morning. People go back to work. Families continue making plans. The world keeps spinning as though nothing has changed. But for us, everything has changed. There comes a point when we realize we just can't stay frozen forever. Not because we want to move on from our child, that's not going to happen, but because we still have a life to live, whether we want to or not. We have people who need us. We have responsibilities waiting for us each morning. And somewhere deep inside, even if it's just the tiniest flicker, we wonder if it's possible to find hope and maybe even a reason to still be here. That can feel like an overwhelming thought, I know. How do you even begin? How do you begin living again? How do you begin putting one foot in front of the other when your heart has been shattered into pieces? This month marks 10 years since my book, When Tragedy Strikes, Rebuilding Your Life with Hope and Healing After the Death of Your Child, was released. It's hard for me to believe it has been a full decade. And as I've reflected on that anniversary, I realized this episode really isn't about celebrating a book. It's about sharing where the message behind that book came from. The idea of rebuilding your life was not something I came up with because it sounded like a good title. It was born out of, obviously, the darkest season of my life when I could not imagine ever dreaming again or believing that life could still have much meaning after the death of my daughter, Becca. I know that sounds terrible. When I still had four other children, two grandchildren, one of them being Becca's 9-year-old daughter, my husband, an international children's ministry. But as a fellow bereaver, you probably know the same feeling. But those who've not lost a child, they cannot understand that. They see the reasons we still have to live. We can't see that. It's like we know it with our head, but our heart just isn't there. Over the years, that message of rebuilding our lives has become really the foundation for almost everything we do here at GPS Hope. It has shaped this podcast, our online workshops, our retreats, the weekly emails I send out, the other books I've written, and so many of the resources we've created for grieving parents. Today, I would like to take you back to where it all began, because if you're listening today and wondering if it's even possible to rebuild your life after child loss, I want you to know that I once wondered the very same thing. And maybe, just maybe, by hearing how God began this journey in my own life, you'll discover, or maybe even have a tiny spark of hope that He's already beginning to do something in yours. When Becca died, I did what probably many of you have done. I started looking for someone, anyone, who could tell me that it wasn't going to hurt this bad. I wasn't looking for someone to tell me to move on because I knew that wasn't possible. I wasn't looking for someone to tell me to get over my grief or that I should have the victory over this. What I desperately needed was hope. I needed someone who had walked this road ahead of me to say, I know where you are. I've been there. And while the pain never completely goes away, it won't always be this overwhelming. I needed to know there was a way to live a meaningful life again without my oldest daughter here with me. Not because I wanted a different life without Becca, but because this was now the life in front of me, and honestly, I didn't know how to live it. I wanted someone who understood not only the devastating pain of child loss, but also the struggle of trying to reconcile that pain with my faith in God. And as I searched, I quickly became discouraged. There really wasn't much available from a Christian perspective, written by someone who had actually walked several years beyond the death of a child. I also searched online, hoping to connect with other bereaved parents. Now, back then, there weren't hardly any social media groups for bereaved parents, and most of the ones I found felt incredibly dark and hopeless. Some were even antagonistic toward anyone who tried to bring their faith into their grief, and that was so frustrating. I would leave those conversations feeling more discouraged than when I joined them. Like I said, it was frustrating because I didn't want to just live out the rest of my life living in a shell waiting to die. And I knew I couldn't be the only parent searching for hope. Now, please don't misunderstand me. The darkness of child loss is very real. I know that because I lived it. I know what it's like to wake up wishing it had all been a nightmare. I know what it's like to wonder how you're supposed to keep breathing when your heart feels like it's been ripped apart. I know what it's like to realize I've stopped breathing and I have to tell myself to take a breath. I was not looking for someone to help me pretend that everything was okay. I simply needed someone to assure me that while I would always miss Becca, I was not destined to spend the rest of my life buried under the crushing weight of grief. Looking back now, I can see that God was stirring something in my heart long before I recognized it. At the time, I thought I was simply searching for the message I needed. I had no idea that God would eventually ask me to become one of the voices offering that same hope to other grieving parents. If someone had told me then that one day I would write multiple award-winning books, start a ministry, host a podcast, and spend my life walking alongside bereavers around the world, I would have thought they were talking about someone else. I was simply a grieving mom trying to survive another day. Then one night, a couple of years after Becca's death, something happened that changed the direction of my life. I woke up with three words that seemed to be almost shouting inside me, "When tragedy strikes." Those words just wouldn't leave me alone. And then I began having some thoughts fire through my mind that felt like chapter ideas for a book. And I knew if I didn't get out of bed and write everything down, I would probably forget a lot of it by morning. So in the middle of the night, I got up, I grabbed some paper, and I started writing. I wasn't trying to organize anything. I was just writing things down that I had going on inside of me so I wouldn't forget. And when I finished, I climbed back into bed thinking, well, I guess I'm supposed to write a book. Now, I've always loved writing. Growing up, most of the school papers I saved, they weren't of my art, but they were of my writing, even like early days of grade school. When my kids were growing up, I took a course for writing books and articles for children. I didn't quite finish that course, but I've always loved writing. And even years before Becca died, she and I had talked about writing a book together someday from both of our perspectives, hers as a little girl growing up after losing her leg to cancer, and mine as her mom walking that journey with her. So the surprising part wasn't the thought of writing. The surprising part was realizing that God seemed to be asking me to write this book. Now, several weeks later, I finally sat down at my computer and I typed the first words, "3 years ago today, I buried my daughter." Now, those were not easy words to write. I could only work on the manuscript a little at a time because it was so emotionally draining. Some days I wrote through tears. Other days I had to stop because my heart couldn't take anymore. And after several months, I had finally completed 3 chapters. Now, as I began organizing everything, I noticed something I hadn't seen that night when I was writing down all those thoughts. Many of the chapter ideas seemed to fit together like different rooms in a house. There was a foundation, a bedroom, a kitchen, a porch, a roof, and even a driveway. At first, I just thought it was kind of an interesting way to organize the book, but the more I prayed and I kept writing, the more I realized it was a lot more than that. The death of our child doesn't just affect one area of our lives, it affects everything. It shakes our faith, it changes our relationships, we struggle with our thoughts and emotions, we lose our sense of identity. The hopes and the dreams we had for the future suddenly look completely different. It's almost as though every room in the house has been touched by grief. Looking back now, I can see something a lot more clearly. God gave me the rebuilding message before He gave me the ministry. Long before there was a book, long before there was GPS Hope, long before there was this podcast or workshops, retreats, or any of the other resources we now have the privilege of sharing, God planted a seed. And that seed was the message that no matter how devastating the tragedy, He can gently help us rebuild our lives. I also understand that the phrase rebuilding your life can easily be misunderstood. In fact, there are some grieving parents that have heard those words, and they thought I meant that they were supposed to move on from their child or somehow leave them behind. And that's never been what I meant. And the same can be true with the word healing, rebuilding your life with hope and healing. Now, I am not talking about reaching a place where you no longer miss your child and life simply goes back to normal. That is never going to happen. To me, rebuilding means allowing God to teach us how to live again while carrying our child with us in our hearts. Healing means learning how to function again, discovering that joy and sorrow really can exist side by side in us, and finding purpose in a life that has been forever changed by the one we continue to love. Our children will always be our son or our daughter. We will always be their mom or dad. Death does not change that relationship. If anything, the love we have for them becomes even more precious because we no longer get to express it the way we once did. We don't rebuild because our child no longer matters. We rebuild because our child mattered so much. Their life has forever changed who we are, and that love becomes part of every brick God lays as He continues His work in us. Another thing God showed me is that you don't rebuild an entire house all at once. If you drove past a construction site every day, you probably wouldn't notice much of a change from one day to the next. But if you came back a few weeks or months later, you'd be amazed at how much progress has been made. Now, I'm not talking about progress in our grief being weeks or months, but I do think grief is often like that. We can get so discouraged because we don't see much happening from one day to the next. We think we're stuck because we still cry. We still struggle. We still have days when the grief feels overwhelming. But God is often doing His deepest work quietly in ways we don't even recognize until we stop and look back. I've often said that after the death of our child, we don't get our old life back. We wouldn't want it if it meant living as though our child had never existed. I mean, that's how I feel. Instead, God lovingly helps us become the person we now need to be. Not a different parent, but a changed parent. Not someone who has forgotten, but someone who has learned to carry both deep grief and deep love at the same time. And to me, that's what rebuilding really means. I've also learned that rebuilding isn't something we accomplish. It's something we continue doing. There isn't a finish line where one day God says, "Congratulations, you're done rebuilding." Just as our relationship with Him continues to grow throughout our lives, He continues to work in us. There are seasons when He strengthens our foundation. There are seasons when He restores a room we didn't even realize still needed attention. And sometimes when another grief wave comes crashing in, He gently reminds us that the house He is building is strong enough to withstand the storm. That's one of the reasons I still believe so deeply in this message, even 10 years after When Tragedy Strikes was first published. It isn't because I think I've arrived. It's because I have experienced the faithfulness of God. I have watched Him patiently rebuild areas of my life that I thought were beyond repair. I've watched Him bring purpose where there was once only pain. And while I still miss Becca every day, I can honestly tell you that the hopelessness I once lived under no longer defines my life. That's what rebuilding means. Not leaving our child behind, but allowing God to rebuild the life we are still here to live until the day we are reunited with our children. Like I said, after several months of writing, I had completed the first three chapters. And at that point, Dave and I felt led to attend a Christian conference for entrepreneurs. Now, this was geared a lot towards authors in San Diego. And the reason we went was because we fully expected to self-publish the book. And we knew absolutely nothing about publishing, marketing, any of those things. And we figured if God really wanted this book written, we should probably learn how to get it into the hands of grieving parents. Now, what happened there at the conference is something neither one of us could have planned. Literally, as the conference was ending, I found myself talking with David Hancock, the founder of Morgan James Publishing in New York, and he was one of the speakers at the conference. We had a wonderful conversation, and before we walked away, he handed me his business card, and he asked me to send to him what I had written so far. I remember thinking, okay, but honestly, I didn't expect much to come from it. And after Dave and I got home from a few more days of sightseeing in San Diego, I sent off an email starting with, "I don't know if you remember me, but you asked me to send this to you." Then about 2 months later, I received both a phone call and an email telling me they wanted to offer me a publishing contract, and I was shocked. Now, this happened to be on April 1st, and they let me know this is not an April Fool's joke. Not only was this a legitimate publishing contract, but it even included a small advance. And suddenly what I thought was going to be a self-published book became something much bigger than Dave or I had ever imagined. Now, the rest of the manuscript was completed under contract, and the following year, on July 6th of 2016, When Tragedy Strikes, Rebuilding Your Life with Hope and Healing After the Death of Your Child was released. As I think back on all of that now, I really don't remember. I wasn't that excited about becoming an author. I remember being grateful that God was making a way for a message of hope to reach grieving parents I would probably never meet. Now, looking back over these past 10 years, the book has now received several awards and found its way into the hands of thousands of bereaved parents around the world. But if you ask me what means the most, it isn't the awards. It's the emails and the thank yous. It's the messages from parents who tell me, "I finally realized I wasn't losing my mind," or, "For the first time since my child died, I believe I might actually survive this," or, "Your book helped me believe that God really didn't abandon me or betray me." Those are the things that matter. Those are the reminders that God knew exactly what he was doing that night when he woke me up with those three simple words. And I think that's one of the greatest lessons I've learned through all of this. God usually doesn't show us the finished picture. He simply asks us to take the next step. If he had shown me everything that would grow out of those three words, a book, the ministry of GPS Hope, which included living in a motorhome for 5 years, traveling the nation, providing support and resources to bereaved parents, this podcast, the retreat, speaking at conferences, the online workshops, the privilege of walking alongside grieving parents around the world, I probably would have been completely overwhelmed. Instead, he simply asked me to write, and he took care of everything else one step at a time. As I look back over these past 10 years, I've realized that the message God planted in my heart all those years ago is just as true today as it was then. I still miss Becca. Whew. There are still moments when something reminds me of her, and my heart aches and the tears run because I wish she were here to experience it with us. That part, I think you can tell, hasn't changed, and I don't expect it ever will, this side of heaven. But something else has changed. The hopelessness that once felt so overwhelming is gone. There was a time when I couldn't imagine laughing again. I couldn't imagine making plans for the future. I couldn't imagine believing that my life could still have meaning or purpose. If someone had told me then what my life would look like today, I wouldn't have believed them. Not because my life is perfect, not because the pain disappeared, but because God has been so incredibly faithful. He's been faithful on the days when I felt strong, and He's been faithful on the days when I felt like I was falling apart. Times when grief just hits me so hard that seemed to come out of nowhere, through holidays and birthdays, through milestones that Becca should have been here to celebrate, and through all the ordinary days when I just simply miss my daughter. One of the greatest privileges God has given me over these past 10 years has been walking alongside other grieving parents. I feel so honored and humbled that God would trust me with these deeply shattered hearts. And while every grief journey is unique, our hearts often ask many of the same questions. Will I survive this? Will I always hurt this much? Will I ever smile again without feeling guilty? Can God still use my life after something this devastating? Do I even want Him to? I wish I could sit across the table from every one of you and tell you personally what I'm about to say. If you will keep walking with Him, even when your steps feel painfully small, even when you feel like it's one step forward and three steps back, if you will keep bringing Him your questions, your tears, your fears, your disappointments, your pain, your anger, He will be faithful to meet you right where you are. It probably won't happen as quickly as you'd like. It probably won't happen the way you expect. But He really is able to bring beauty out of ashes. He really can restore what grief has shattered. And He really can help you discover that your child's death does not have to be the end of your story. I think that's what has encouraged me the most over these past 10 years. The message hasn't changed because God hasn't changed. He's still the God who comforts the brokenhearted. He's still the God who walks with us through the darkest valleys. He's still the God who specializes in bringing life out of places that seem completely dead. And He's still in the business of rebuilding lives. I may have been the one who wrote the words in the book When Tragedy Strikes, but the rebuilding message has never belonged to me. God wasn't just giving me an outline for a book. He was giving me a picture that would guide my own healing journey for years to come. He was showing me that rebuilding doesn't happen by fixing everything at once. It happens one room at a time, one change in perspective at a time, one word or spark of hope at a time. Looking back now, I can see that God gave me the rebuilding message long before He gave me the ministry. It has always been His message. I simply had the privilege of being the one He asked to write it down and share it, and I consider it one of the greatest privileges of my life to continue walking this journey with you. Because July is National Bereaved Parents Month, we'd like to offer you a special gift. Throughout the month, you can download our free PDF. It's called Rebuilding Your Life, A Gentle Guide Toward Hope and Healing After Child Loss. Now, there's no email address required right now. It's just our way of honoring you and reminding you that you don't have to walk this journey alone. I hope and pray that it brings you encouragement and it points you toward hope one gentle step at a time. So please take advantage of this. There will be a link to this in the show notes, or you can just go to gpshope.org and a pop-up window will come up and you can click the link in the pop-up window to get your PDF. If you want to spend a weekend with myself, Dave, and a small group of bereavers, you can do that the weekend of October 16th through 18th in Sarasota, Florida. Now, Dr. Doug and BJ Jensen will also be joining us. They are fellow bereavers, and they have an anointed ministry of putting American Sign Language to song, as well as being wonderful speakers and just a precious couple to spend time with. To find out more about the retreat, go to gpshope.org/retreat, and there will also be a link in the show notes for this as well. Each episode, we take time to mention the names of the children whose birthdays have been sent in for the week. So let's go ahead with this week's birthday segment. Jack Crean was born on July 16th and is forever 18. Jimmy LaPlante was born on July 19th and is forever 39. We celebrate the day these children came into the world and into the lives of their families. We know it's a day that is always worth celebrating. I would be honored to share your child's name and birthday with the other listeners. All you have to do is go to gpshope.org/birthdays or just click on the link in the show notes. Fill out the form with the needed information, and the week of your child's birthday, you can hear their name. Dave will send you an email to remind you to listen, along with a link to sign up for the following year if you choose to do so. Before we close today, I'd like to leave you with one final thought. If someone asked you to build an entire house today, you would feel overwhelmed. It would be impossible to do, right? There'd be so much to do that you wouldn't even know where to begin. But if someone handed you a single brick and said, "Would you place this one brick where it belongs?" you could do that. I think that's often how we look at our grief. We look at the rest of our lives and think, "I can't do this. I can't imagine living another 20, 30, 40 years without my child." I remember when those kinds of thoughts would send me into almost a panic attack where it was hard to breathe. You know what? You don't have to. God isn't asking you to build the whole house today. He's simply asking you to trust Him with today's brick. Maybe today's brick is getting out of bed. Maybe it's taking a walk. Maybe it's opening your Bible for the first time in weeks. Maybe it's allowing yourself to cry instead of trying to be strong. Maybe it's reaching out to another bereaver. Or maybe today's brick is simply taking the next breath and whispering, "Jesus, help me." Those may not seem like very big things, but houses aren't built all at once. They're built one brick at a time. Like I said, God gave me the rebuilding message long before He gave me the ministry. At the time, I could not see what He was building. I only knew the next step He was asking me to take. And maybe that's where you are today. You can't see what God is building either, and that's okay. You don't have to know what the finished house will look like. You only have to trust the master builder with the next brick. And one day, you will look back and realize that while you thought you were simply surviving, God was quietly rebuilding your life all along. So, here is my weekly spark of hope for you, H-O-P-E. Hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.